Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our contemplative evening Wednesday service. Wherever you may be, our hearts bow to you in your living room, your car, your home, your work. Thank you for joining us in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony tonight for worship. Just a couple announcements. Last weekend, the board met and approved language that we wish to communicate to everyone, and that is that masks will be mandatory to participate in the worship service on Sunday and Wednesday evenings, Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings, in part because this is externally considering to everyone. It's the one thing we all can do to support everyone's feeling safe. And so that word mandatory really is an invitation for you to love your neighbor if you attend. And so we will celebrate the gift that we give to each other and expect that. And I wish for that to be a manifestation of care for one another. The other challenge is that when people see on screen that someone's not wearing a mask, it sends a signal to others to not wear masks. And it's very counterproductive because it keeps people who want to be here but are afraid of being around people who aren't wearing a mask away. So the most important thing we can do for one another is to, even if we don't want to wear the mask, if you wish to be here in person, to wear the mask out of love and respect so that as many people who want to come to church can come, and we do this by wearing masks. It's really sacrificing, which we're learning about in the Journey School. So that's all I have to say on that, and we just ask the Holy Spirit to bless our community in these unique days. Tonight we're going to hear a beautiful invitation from Jesus, which has several edges to it, and it's an opportunity for us to look at our own, the distinction between attention and distraction in the spiritual life, and that attraction to the spiritual life is very different to attention. And that is an opportunity for us to look at the parts of ourselves that are attracted but are unwilling to give attention. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher tonight, and through the Eucharist and the silence and the Scripture, be healed, transformed, and empowered. Amen. Staying in that place of quiet, we listen for a word from the Scriptures. The Scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But the person replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And a third said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." Jesus responded to him, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I love about grammar are what are called conditional conjunctions. And you have heard them all your life, and you've used them all your life. The ones I'm thinking about are the yeah, but, and if only. But, instead of and, if you do this, then, these conditions that we place on reality through our language. And these words here remind me of the fickleness and the multiplicity of a human being that we all experience, that we place conditions upon our willingness to consent to God's presence and action more deeply and fully in our life at any given time. And probably more than anything we could be honest about, we are resistant to the ways in which we are asked to consent to God's presence and action in our life. We disagree with reality, and we resist the way in which God is working and alive and active in our life. We think, if only this situation would be different, but first, let me then do that first and then. And we resist reality and want it to be different. That in part is, I think, something of the nature of the teaching from this gospel. And for all of us, I think if we can just ponder the truth that attention is more than attraction. Attention is more than attraction. Now, in the work, we have this beautiful teaching called magnetic center. And magnetic center is what draws so many of us first to some sort of spiritual pursuit or curiosity, and certainly draws us to this church. No one gets here without magnetic center being turned on. And so it's really what Bernadette says is God's initial grace for all of us, that God drops us crumbs along the way and gives us little God sightings, so to speak, and then we've got to follow up on that grace. So magnetic center gets us into the door. Attraction gets us here. Attention keeps us here. And so for all of us, you know, it's not a make us wrong moment. It's a explore where your attention is going and stir up the fire of your attraction to different influences. These influences that stir up our attention are different than the cultural influences that are all around us. And we know that where our attention goes, our life goes. So attraction is different than attention. And for you and for me, we can look at our lives and look at the conditions and the ways in which we resist reality and the ways in which we look at other things other than God. And that is really something to ponder, the justification we make for not having our attention on the vertical. The trick for us is that we are monks in the world. And so our attention isn't just on the vertical. Our attention is a balancing act in the middle of the horizontal dimension of life amidst all of its attractions. We're called to do the impossible. We're invited not to go to the monastery to disappear from all the distracting distractions. We're invited to cultivate our attention so that it becomes devotion in the land of the living. That's the hard path. And that way of life is not easy because the distractions abound. And it requires devotion and attention to discern, decide, and determine how you're going to live. No abbot, no monastery rules will give you that obedience to your attention. You give it to yourself. And that's really quite the invitation of freedom. How will we use our freedom? Where will we give our attention? Attraction begets us there. Attention keeps us there. And then attention not only keeps us there, but it brings us to a different state of being that Jesus refers to as the kingdom of God. And you can hear that word, kingdom of God, through the lens of what we would call union. So as we move from attraction to attention, we ultimately can come to this deepened state and experience of union, the kingdom of God. And what Jesus, I think, is ultimately saying here is that it's not that union takes you out of life, it's that union changes your life and how you live in life. It's what you dwell in and what you let indwell you. And that's union, what you dwell in and what you let dwell in you. Because you can be in union with all sorts of states, attitudes, moods, behaviors, elements, events, situations, people, substances. Union is happening. You can't avoid being in union with breath, with food, with events, with perceptions, with reality, external reality. Union is going to happen. The question is, what kind and quality of union are we experiencing by way of attention and attraction? So this kingdom of God thing that we're called to preach and live in and participate in by way of certain qualifications, nope. Don't give me that if only. This is right now. Where are you right now? Let everything else take care of itself. Life is going to happen in the only way it can. Just don't worry about it. Right now, are you interested in union in this moment? And it's a reminder for all of us, I think, to use this present moment and our present situations as almost boundary lines that show us, like my car knows that I'm getting close or cross over the boundary line on the road, and it beeps. And I'm grateful for that, especially if I'm looking at my phone, where my attention shouldn't be. But that beeping, that little line on the road, keeps us focused and helps us remember, oh, I'm losing my attention. I'm getting into the land of distraction. And so the edge of our being is revealed where our attention is being distracted. That edge of our being is revealed where we see union kind of fizzling out into distraction. And that is useful. It doesn't make any of us bad. It makes us self-observers to see where the edge of your being is, where union is fizzling out. In centering prayer and other meditative methods, we begin to discover this quality of observing that fizzling out, where the grace is given of pure presence and union, and we become aware of it, and that very awareness pulls us out of it. And so just experiencing that in the silence is a teacher that we can then use that wisdom for day-to-day life and discover that similar sensation wherever we are, whatever we're doing, of using that edge of our being where we're distracted to show us where the union is fading. And then one last thing is that we tend to become better at coping with certain situations and not being distracted so easily in that situation. We learn how to keep our spiritual attention in the midst of a certain situation because we've become accustomed to it. And in that state, for many of us, life can become extremely boring and the spiritual life becomes dull. And it turns out that in order to keep growing and growing, you may need to pick yourself up and pluck yourself out of the land of comfort and ease, so to speak, where you've grown accustomed to everything around you and experience something so radically new and different that it helps you see, ah, it turns out I haven't grown as much as I thought. Ah, there's certainly a level here of development that is being revealed. And so life events do this without us asking for them. External reality does this. A new diagnosis, a pandemic, all of these sorts of shocks help us see that we all have more room to grow in our capacity to give more of ourselves to more of God. The most that we know of ourselves to the most that we know of God. And then God takes care of the rest. So let's just ponder that a little bit now in the silence. Where might you deepen your attraction? Where might you deepen your attention? And where might you consent more into that union, wherever you might be right now? Holy Spirit of God, continue to draw us deeper into your way that is love. Amen. And we remember the truth together, taking our tithes, gifts, or offerings into our consciousness or into our hands, and proclaiming this truth over our lives and over this planet, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. I thank each of you for your presence and attention in this service to the silence and word of God and to the Eucharist. May each of our lives continue to expand into this union that draws us deeper. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us until we meet again. Amen.